All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is Friday, March 3rd, 2023. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. It's a little chilly, but I was going to run this morning. I usually try to run on Friday mornings, and I got a message from the doctor, said he will not be making it. His back was feeling a bit out of sorts, and then my wife's like, I think it's supposed to be raining in the morning anyway, and I was like, oh. So I skipped it, and then I got up this morning, and there was no rain. I told my wife, I go, watch, I'm going to wake up, and there'll be no rain. It'll be just exactly typical for me trying to plan or not plan something. But I think James and I are going to run either Sunday or Monday. But yeah, didn't run this morning. Feeling a little, I don't know, I feel okay. I've been doing a lot of running. Been adjusting some of the things in my diet that have been getting a little wonky. I've been, one of the things, I don't know, do you drink a lot of coffee? I personally love coffee. And I have been drinking it. I had to actually cut out the sugar. Well, I cut out the Italian sweet cream is what I was using. And I forget the name of the company that makes it. It's just delicious. But I saw something on some platform of a guy talking about how bad these sweet creamers, you know, the pumpkin spice and the Italian sweet cream and hazelnut, whatever they all are, they have a lot of seed oil in them and they're bad for you. And I'm like, you know, I have no idea. It seems like lately I've been hearing things about seed oil being bad for us. Seed oil might be behind our fat problem. Maybe, I don't know. That's sort of what people are saying, that, you know, these seed oils are bad for us. So the point is this guy's like, this thing's loaded with seed oil. You shouldn't be drinking it. And I'm like, you're right. So I quit. I quit drinking it. I'm drinking coffee, but I'm drinking it black. And it's probably my second week, and I feel good. It's funny. Just, I think, removing that small, I mean, I say a small amount of sugar. It's weird because, you know, it's funny how I can sort of paint this picture. In my mind, it's a shitload of sugar. I'm drinking the whole thing. I'm getting fat. But the reality of it is I'm sort of not drinking. You know, when I drink a cup of coffee, I'll put in the Italian sweet cream, and then I'll have like four sips or five sips. A lot of the times I forget the coffee, right? Or I drag it with me to work and I sip it a few more times. And by the end of the day, I usually have kind of a whole full coffee. You know, I feel like up a Yeti. So, you know, it's half empty. So I don't even know if I'm drinking as much sugar as I think I am. I know that when I drink my coffee black, I definitely drink a lot more coffee. And which is weird because it doesn't taste as good as it does when it has Italian sweet cream. But on the other hand, it actually tastes better because I'm actually tasting the coffee and all the cool stuff that comes along with coffee. So I don't know. That's what's sort of going on. There's a lot of shit going on with me this week. I am, coming out of the winter, right? I don't know. It's just a lot of anxiety and stress, financial insecurity kind of stuff. Trying to figure out what I want to do with this salon. I want to keep my salon. I don't even know why. I'm just... Sometimes I think I climb to the tip of the mountain and I just make more trouble for myself. And the reality is that I've been... This is my 12th year owning a business. And every year, there's slow points, right? It's like I seem to forget these things. And I start trying to figure out, oh, well, this isn't going to work out. I'm going to have another plan. It always works out, right? My buddy Matt used to say, as long as you're not smoking crack and paying for hookers, man, it will work out. And I am not, so I'm sure it will. But, you know, it creates a little fear. And once a little fear gets going, you know, I can take it and shape it into multiple things. And that's sort of what I've been doing all week. I mean, at one point I'm selling the salon. At one point I want to work in a field at some house that has maybe a chair for rent. You know, I keep going, why don't you remember how awesome you have it with the salon? right? You have an amazing salon. The rent is reasonable. This is just, honestly, what this is really just us going through this kind of, you know, period of us trying to adjust with my wife not working. Really, that's kind of what it's come down to, because we're pulling a lot more money out of the salon to cover our ass than we used to. And I'm seeing it in the numbers, right? And I'm like, Jesus, the salon, what's going on? So I'm just, it's been a tough week. And plus it's slow. And plus it doesn't seem like the two people that are working at the salon have really been, I haven't seen them. One left. So it's a lot of weird shit going on. I need to push through. You know, it is Friday. It's been a great week. I've been busy. And then, you know, we also talked about, you know, I've been to a couple meetings this week. The meeting I went to on Monday was on the sixth step. And I went to a meeting on Wednesday, and a guy celebrated a year. That was amazing. You know, the sixth step is, Here, I brought the book right here. Sixth step is, it's character defects, I know, but let me read it correctly. So it says, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Yeah. And that is, you know, I try to find where, what this would fall under. My anxiety and fear that I have for some of this stuff. Is this a character defect? Right? Is it a defect in my character? I'm not sure. It might be a little bit, right? Or a shortcoming. You know, at the meeting, this guy's like, I think shortcomings and character defects are the exact same thing. Bill W. just wanted to use a different word or something. And I don't think that's really true. You know, the one thing I always try to do when I think about a character defect is I try to picture me as a cartoon character, right? Or as a movie character, or as a book in a story, a character in a story. You know, what would I look like? The cartoon one usually suffices because it's like, you know, Popeye with the big arms, right? Or the bald head or the pipe, you know, these character things that we distinguished individuals by. You know, I always say as a guy raising kids, you know, we're not trying to make characters, we're trying to build character. Yeah, so character defects, right? You know, I Googled it. I looked it up. In fact, what did I did? Let's see what I had here for. Because they are different, right? Yeah. The next step, to humbly ask God to remove our shortcomings. That was the step that Matt used to say. That's where we stop stealing the Wawa sugar packets. Which means, you know, this is where we've, you know, humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. Where am I falling short? You know, the Wawa sugar packets was always a great example for me because I was that guy, right? You know, because I would go to Wawa, I would get a coffee, I would put sugar in the thing, and then I would put 5 or 6 packets in my pocket, you know, and maybe put them in my sugar bowl at home or, you know, put them somewhere for later, right? And, you know, Matt's like, those aren't for taking, you know, those are for using at the moment and then, you know, leave the rest for somebody else, not to fill your pockets because you're stealing. And I was like, well, it's free, right? It's all free. But, you know, I was falling short. I was falling short of the fact is that, you know, I don't steal. Right. And even though that it's put out there for free doesn't give me the right or doesn't mean that I can steal as much as I want of it. And, you know, whether it's that example, you know, I'll talk more about I'll share at least my thoughts or my experience with that. The seventh step next week. But this week was the sixth step. And this was about, you know, I remember, you know, when I was actively in my addiction, I had a lot of character defects. Oh, I wanted to read something. Shit. So we had. Oh, let's see. Where did I have it? I thought I looked up some stuff. Well, let's see if I can just, let's see, character defects. Character defects. It's a list. Yeah, so the list is, here are the defects of character. Resentment and anger. So I'm going to read this list, and then I'm going to sort of look at the ones that were kind of going in my life before I got sober and some of the character defects that I didn't realize until I got sober. But it says, number 1, resentments and anger. Number 2, fear, cowardice. 3, self-pity. 4, self-justice or self-justification. 5, self-importance, egotism. 6, self-condemnation, guilt. 7, lying, evasiveness, dishonesty. 8, impatience. Yeah, so a lot of these, I didn't even realize, I didn't even know they were character. First of all, I was too busy focusing on myself to realize any of my character defects. But, you know, the big one that obviously stands out was lying, evasiveness. That's about it. Because I didn't really have any resentments. I didn't really have any fear. I didn't have any self-pity. I know what I was missing. And honestly, all of these things for me were available until I became accountable. Right? Accountable was really where I started to understand. And that's what really the fourth step and the fifth step are. You know, is starting to figure out how to become accountable. You know, I shared that story the other day about going to that guy's house and getting punched. I shouldn't have been in there. Right? If I'd have made the correct choice, if I'd have been responsible for what I was up to, and I would have made the right choice to have gone to the front door and rang the doorbell, maybe like a normal person, maybe something still bad would have happened, but at least I could blame him, right? At least I could blame somebody else. But when I'm the one that's going into the house on my own, you know, and getting punched, that's my fault, right? That's about being accountable. And a lot of my character defects, you know, when you have a resentment or anger, you know, accountability is usually missing, right? You know, what part did I play? What did they do to me? Damn them. Fear and cowardice, you know, same sort of thing. You know, as long as you're not smoking crack and paying for hookers, man, it should work out. You have nothing to worry about. And it's true. And I'm not. And so, once again, being accountable. Self-pity. What part did I play? Same thing. Self-importance. Egotism. Same thing. Self-condemnation. Guilt. You know, what do you feel guilty about? Something that you did. What did you do? Recognize, become accountable, clean it up, make an amends, let the guilt free. Lying, why? Why do we lie? Why do I lie? To look better, to appear better to others, my ego. You know, sometimes I used to lie and feel better about it and then forget the fact that it was actually a lie. You know, sometimes I started believing my own bullshit. And, you know, I've shared before, you know, there's nothing drives me crazier than a person that says, I was going to do that, or I was going to pick that up, or I was going to stop and get that. It's like you didn't. You don't get to say it because you don't get to feel the satisfaction of thinking maybe that you did it because you didn't. Yeah, self-justification or lying, evasiveness, impatience, you know, impatience, inconvenience creates arrogance. You know, impatience is arrogant, right? I'm inconvenienced, I'm bothered, things aren't going my way, I start to run by a different set of rules. That's what, you know, I'll never forget Matt. Guys like you and me are arrogant. I'm like, what the fuck does that mean? Because we run by a different set of rules. And I'm like, oh my God. And none of that, I didn't know about any of that stuff. I didn't know what that meant. It's freaking crazy. But yeah, one of the guys at the meeting shared, he goes, you know, one of the things, the greatest thing about the sixth step is that you have to do the first five before it, right? And I am such a believer of that. It's hard for me to... As a person that's done it and does it and works on it every day, to understand really this, the first five or six steps in the first year, I think is really tough. I mean, I'm not saying don't do it. I would absolutely do it and I would enjoy it. But man, I tell you, I've been working on this program for many years, and this, I'm just starting to kind of understand this, which is crazy because I just celebrated 14 years I've been doing this, and I just started to understand this relationship with the higher power, the lower power, you know, self, you know, self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility. I understood it, but what did that really mean? And what it really means is that I'm really focused on, like, me, and I don't have God in my life. And why is that? Is there some voice that's like, hey, man, God isn't a thing, isn't going to work? You know, guy shared the other night at a meeting that he had celebrated a year, and it was really awesome. I always love that. You know, congratulations to him. A couple other people were there. One guy was there saying that he had been out, or he had been sober for a couple years and went back out. And, you know, the problem, because that's sort of what happened to me. You know, I'd been sober, and then I moved. And then it really exposed how secure my program really was, which wasn't secure at all. And, but you know, we had gone over to Easton, and then next thing you know, I went to a meeting, and I don't like the way that they're, you know, running the meeting. I didn't like the way they're picking up the money. I didn't like the way they opened this thing. All of a sudden, I just had all these issues, and next thing you know, I wasn't at that meeting, completely believing that what I was doing was justified. Like, this is good. No, this is good thinking, Tom. You know what you're. You get it. But shit, I look back on it, and that to me was just this devil separating me from the fucking meeting, right? And that's been going on all my life. There's always been that voice. We shouldn't do that. Let's not do. Let's ditch. Who cares? You know, I thought I said, man, pay attention to that voice, because that is the opposite of a higher power. You know, and if you hear that voice, and the voice is, you know, don't do this, maybe you shouldn't go to the meeting, let's skip tonight. It's like, pay attention to that, right? And if you want to start to build a relationship with the higher power, do the opposite of it, right? If the voice says don't go to a meeting, go to the meeting. Now you're building a relationship with the higher power, because the voice is self. Self wants what self wants. So anything other than what self wants is humble. Right. And if I'm going to be honest, self to me is the devil and the higher power is God. Why is it we talk about God, but nobody wants to talk about that, the devil? I said it in a meeting and I felt so bad to even say the name devil. But it is, to me, it's a possession of a demon. And these 12 steps are here to remove the demons one step at a time. But like this guy said the other day, you know, you really got to work these first five steps. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. That's big. How many days does that take? How many years does that take? Right? Turned our will and our lives over to the care of a God of our understanding, made a fearless and moral inventory of ourselves. What's up? Now, see, now I got to say it. I guess I don't want to say it wrong. Yep. And admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. And then we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. And what does that even mean, right? You know, if that's the, if that was the list, right? The list is resentments and anger. You know, if I'm going to just focus on that, resentments and anger, that to me falls into the fourth step, right? Because it's still part of that Mr. Jones story. And what was Mr. Jones' problem? He had a resentment and he was angry at the neighbor. And he had a resentment because of everything he had. And he was angry because, honestly, in the end, I don't think maybe he realized he didn't put the work in. I don't know. It doesn't really go into the details. But I know for me, I had a resentment against everybody. And I was angry that I didn't participate and do better in my life. And, you know, it's a victim. You know, it's, I hate to use the word, but that's being a victim. And so if I'm trying to get rid of this character defect, right? If I'm trying, and I like to think of like a, like if this was a cartoon, right? And let's say, you know, I've probably said this to somebody, but you know, if you want to get 20 people together and you're building a team, right? And you're going to, let's say you're going to those, to Mars, right? On a spaceship. And you're going to be on a spaceship with someone for probably the next couple years. You probably want to have pretty even-keeled, level-headed kind of people, right? I mean, you want to. You don't, you know, I shared the before about those guys that got in fight in that meeting. You know, they had no, or at least one of them had, didn't have the ability to find humility. And he was willing to fist fight over a football team. And that's not the guy I want on the fucking spaceship. Right, that's not the guy I want with me going to Mars. That's a character defect. That's an absolute character defect. But so resentment and anger, you know, if I'm going to start to get rid of those, you know, and I want to go back and sort of figure out where that is, that would probably start happening. You know, it's probably back in this first and second step. You know, first we're admitting, right? That's the first humble thing we probably did. And then we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Slow? I don't know. I don't know if that happens overnight. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. That means you're bringing God into your life. That means if you weren't doing any of this prior and now you are, that means you're taking down some walls, right? You're finding some humility. You're letting some God into your life. And then when we do this, making a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves, this is when I think the accountability starts to show up. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. That's called becoming accountable. It's huge. And so, like in the Mr. Jones story, in this first one, this first character defect, you know, and I, like I said, I like to picture them as cartoon characters. Right. And so this character, he's angry. Right. Would that be Grumpy, the grumpy dwarf? He had a character defect. Is that the seven dwarfs are all character defects? Right. Sleepy. I don't know if sleepy is a character defect, but listen, if you got to take a nap, that's a problem. No, I shouldn't say that because I love taking naps. But if you're always having to take a nap, right, that could be an issue. But, you know, the point is that, you know, these steps help us get rid of these character defects. But we have to be able to say, you're right, I have one. You're right, I have one. I want to work on it. I was watching, I think I was watching Joe Rogan's podcast last night. And he had Russell Brandt. And they were talking about something, but, the homelessness problem. And the part of the problem with the homelessness is it takes two, right? You need the problem, and then you have to have a person that has a desire to get better. But if you don't have those two things, you're never going to fix it, right? And you people sit around scratching their head going, I wonder why we can't figure out the homeless problem. A lot of people don't want to be in a home, right? This Russell Brand was saying that he did a documentary with and brought a homeless guy into his house, and he's a little silly, but he goes, I had him take a, we took a bath together, two men in a bathtub. You know, how more intimate can you be, you know, with two men, one homeless guy, one not, taking a bath together? And I guess they were filming it as a documentary. And the guy's like, I want to be homeless. And he basically left, right? They gave him a taxi, as he said, a taxi cab to nowhere. And I'm like, I wonder if he wanted to be homeless or if he just wanted to not be forced to take a bath with you, right? Why is it that we have to push the limits with that? I thought that was a little extreme. But, you know, the guy enjoyed being homeless. And I guess out in L.A., you know, you can do it. I wouldn't want to be homeless here in Delaware because you will definitely be cold. But in L.A. and, you know, the southern areas, you can probably survive because it's warm. But you have to, you know, you have to have a desire. You have to have a problem and a desire to fix it. And that's sort of what I am, right? I have a problem, and at this point, I have a desire to fix it. I have a desire to take a hard look at it and try to get better. And, you know, so that's, so the week in a nutshell is I'm stressed out, right? And I know I shouldn't be, and I know what to do about it. And for some reason, I'm choosing not to, and I'm just sort of living in a stressed out moment. Number two is I had the meeting and we did the sixth step, and that is the character defects. You know, Google character defects. Google character defects. There was a lot of shit that just, you know, that got better immediately as soon as I stopped drinking and drugging, right? But I do believe I was completely unaware of how self-centered I was before I came to this program. I just thought I focused on myself, right? I just thought I was... I don't know what I thought, but I know that I realize now how self-centered I was and deficient in God. And that's humility, and humility is ability, and ability is to, you know, take accountability and not be a victim, right? Not be a victim. And then also the guy celebrating this week for a year, congratulations. But, you know, that was the other thing that I talked about at that meeting was, or I shared, my experience was that, you know, a year's great, but between you and me, this is when the fucking work starts. You know, I sort of feel like Bill and Bob knew that as self-centered people, we love a good trophy, right? A good coin, a good, you know, something to mark our anniversary in time, but it don't mean shit. And in fact, you know, every day we're away from that last drink is every day that our memory fades. You know, and as I shared in the meeting on Wednesday, I said, listen, if you'd ask me on March, you know, because I got the first time I got sober, March 31st, 1997. So if you'd asked me April 1st, 1997, I'd have told you my life is in fucking shambles. I had to get stitches and I got punched and I had to go to the hospital and I was embarrassed and I was ashamed. It was the end of the fucking world in my mind. But if you ask me today how it was, I'd be like, eh. I mean, I got a couple stitches, right? It was inconvenient. You know, that memory fades. It doesn't, I don't remember it being as bad as it was. And so every day we are sober is one day away from that moment. And whatever that moment was that got us here. So, you know, and I also shared, listen, I had to fall in love with what I get out of this program more than being afraid of going back out and drinking. You know, to me, that was a big deal. Let's see if we can do a quick little reading, and then I got to go do some work. The other thing is I'm doing is I'm really having to stay in the moment. You know, one day at a time is great, but I'm focusing, right? I'm staying in the hour. Because for some reason, I just have a lot of anger, just a lot of fear. For some reason. And I don't know if part of the thing is I'm afraid of is that I just don't want to work, right? I mean, I love to work, but I'm tired of this sort of this situation. I was telling somebody, I go, I wish I could find somewhere I could rent a chair and get the same deal that I give people to myself. That would be amazing because honestly, I'd be doing a lot better. Not that, and listen, I'm not, we're not even doing bad. That's the worst part. I'm making a fucking mountain out of a molehill. All right, let's read this. March 3rd, overcoming self-will. This might help. So our troubles, we think, are basically of our own making. They arise out of ourselves, and the alcoholic is an extreme example of self-will run riot. Though he usually doesn't think so. Above everything, we alcoholics must be rid of the selfishness. We must, or it kills us. Absolutely. For so many years, my life revolved solely around myself. I was consumed with self in all forms. Self-centeredness, self-pity, self-seeking, all of which stem from pride. Okay, I'm going to read that again because that's, you know, it used to be illegal to be prideful. Back in some year prior to this, I don't know if it was 100, 200 years ago, it was illegal to be prideful. So I'm going to read this again. For so many years, my life revolved solely around myself. I was consumed with self in all forms, self-centeredness, self-pity, self-seeking, all of which stemmed from pride. Today, I have been given the gift, through the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, of practicing these steps and traditions in all my daily life, of my group and sponsor, and the capacity, if I so choose, to put my pride aside in all situations which arise in my life. Until I could honestly look at myself, that's being accountable, until I could honestly look at myself and see that I was the problem in many situations and react appropriately inside and out. Until I could discard my expectations and understand that my serenity was directly proportionate to them, I could not experience serenity and sound sobriety. Yes. Yep, I am my biggest problem. And I know that. And I need to remember that. All right, we're running out of time. I don't want to take this too long. Have a great day, and we'll catch up next week. Later.